Well, welcome back now. Christmas open lines, miracles, just about anything goes tonight for the next couple hours. Let's just sit back and enjoy the stories and your calls, of course. I want to pass a special congratulations to Don and Melissa Sorensen of St. Louis. They are getting married on Saturday. Congratulations to you two. I know them. They're great people. And it should be a great wedding, my friends, so enjoy yourself as well. And before we get into open lines, I want to tell all of you how important you've been to all of us here at Coast to Coast, and thank you for watching the growth of this radio show continue and continue and continue. We're in the 680 affiliates now, and we continue to grow. And none of that would have been possible without your help and assistance and your listening. So we really appreciate that. I know that 2020 is almost gone. We got about a week to go. But, man, it's been a rough year for a lot of people, hasn't it? And just stay strong. We're going to get through this. As bumpy as it is on this road, we're going to get through it, and we're going to come out okay. And just say a prayer for those that did not get through this. But many of you will. So we'll be back in a moment. We'll get ready with open lines on Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, now, this is Billy F. Gibbons, your ZZ Top buddy, wishing you a Merry Christmas. George, Nori, and the gang got it going on, wishing you happy holidays. Have mercy.
Hey, this is Jason Martell, your ancient technology researcher, wishing you all a very Merry Christmas.
Two great guys. Welcome back to Coast, our Christmas night open lines. And again, you know the holiday schedule. We will be live with you again on New Year's Eve, which is Thursday night, and New Year's night, which is going to be next Friday. So just stick with us. And Tom is taking your text and tweets. So if you can't get through to the show, just send him a little message. You've heard that number we give out. And send him a text or a tweet to him, and he'll get on with us and tell us what's going on with you. So let's go to the phones. It's going to go by quickly tonight. East of the Rockies, we've got John in North Dakota. Hello, John. Welcome.
Hey, George. I was going to tell your guest, but I didn't make it in time. But a long time ago, my uncle got in trouble, and he just ended up calling one of his friends.
Okay.
But his friend was about to go on a trip overseas. And at the last minute, his friend said, okay. So we got him out of trouble. The next day, he found out that the flight he was on got shot down by Soviets.
Oh, my God. It was that plane. Oh.
Korean 007.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yep. He saved his life.
He did. What a miracle when they happen.
It was just not a coincidence that, you know, he could have went on that trip. And it was probably an expensive trip.
He lost some money on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, but he would have lost his life.
What did he say after the fact? Do you remember, John?
No, because I wasn't born at the time.
Okay.
So my dad, which is his brother, told me the story. And, yeah, they're still friends to this day.
That's a great story. Thanks, John. Appreciate that. That's marvelous. Blair in Sedona, Arizona. Hello, our friend. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, George. I have a wonderful story. I met a cast member of Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life in 1997. I worked at one of your affiliates in Sedona, KAZM Radio.
Oh, yeah. What a classic movie, too. I love that show.
I tell you, Carolyn Grimes back in 1997 was doing a 50th anniversary nationwide personal tour. And she was at the time we had a store called the 1001 Angels store here in Sedona. And she was interviewed by the owner's son, Tom Tabak. And then she autographed a photo of her showing her sitting on her bed giving rose petals to Jimmy Stewart. And she said, you remember that one? You were in the bed just before he went and said, you know, he's going to jump off of the bridge, you know, and said his life was worthless.
Yep.
Anyway, she wrote to Blair, keep angels in your heart forever. Carolyn Grimes Zuzu with a little bell on it.
Oh, that's great. That was almost the basis for the whole movie. that he took those petals and hid them because she said, Daddy, glue this back on, glue these back on. And obviously you can't. And so he took them and pretended he put them back in the flower, and then he put them in his vest. And then that was the basis of the movie when he came back from, had he not been alive.
Hey, you know that clerical error that they talked about where they lost the copyrights from 1974 to 1994, you know, allowing local TV stations to know to air?
That's right.
At no cost because it became public domain.
Right.
You think, George, that was at the behest of Angels?
That could have been. That could have been, Blair. It's a great movie. As a matter of fact, at the end of this hour, we're going to play a little clip of It's a Wonderful Life, which is one of our traditions during Christmas. So get ready for that. Text and tweets, as I mentioned. Tom, what do you have to get us started?
Well, from Karen in Mississippi, what's your earliest Christmas gift memory, and what was it? And she says, was it what you wanted?
Well, I'll tell you the memory that I will always remember. It may not have been my earliest memory, but it was a early memory indeed. My sister and I had asked for bicycles from our parents. And, you know, as kids, you always wake up before your parents for Christmas.
Always.
And you run under the tree and you look at the packages and you don't open them up because the folks have said, you know, wait till we're here and we're awake. So you sit there and you're just nervous and shaking and you want to open up, but you don't. Well, we had asked for bicycles. And so we wake up, we run to the tree in the living room. My parents are asleep, and there are packages all over the place, but no bicycles. And we were just so disappointed, so sad. And all of a sudden, my sister said, George, come here. And we go to the window, and across the street, in the middle of the night, on Christmas morning, it must have been about 3 or 4 in the morning, on a very cold, snowy night, my folks are walking two bicycles across the street that they had hidden at our neighbor's
Tricky
house.
Tricky parents.
In our garage. And I'll never forget that, Tom. I'll never forget that.
That's a cool Christmas story. I like that.
Yep.
Smart
parents. It's a classic.
That's Some right. would say your parents were just conduits. It was really Santa.
And by the way, thanks for the Santa updates last night.
Santa's awesome. Are you kidding?
He went. How many gifts did he deliver? We were at $6 billion.
It was over $6 billion.
When you started.
Yeah. It was probably up to $7 billion by the time we ended.
That's amazing.
It is.
Let me ask you a question.
Go.
When you were a kid and somebody told you there is no Santa, how did you react to that? Because there was always that one kid in school who told everybody there's no Santa.
I got to tell you something. I had a big family. I have a big family. I do not have any memory of anybody telling me there was no Santa Claus.
Really?
Maybe that's why I like walk around at Christmas time going, yeah, Santa's coming. I really don't remember anybody saying, look, you're old enough now to know. I never remember that.
Folks, if you want, in addition to your open line calls, call in and tell me when you were. I believe there's Santa. Santa lives in our hearts, folks. But
that's true. Wait, good point. That is true. That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is. But I want to know where you were, if you remember, when that kid told you there was no Santa and how you reacted. Just bring that up. Let's go to Jeremy in North Dakota. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello, George. December 25th was the 17th day past the 17th anniversary of my tragic event.
Excellent.
And well, I want to tell you, I ordered 7 bottles of champagne for New Year's, and I'd like to send you one bottle.
Well, I'll put you on hold, and Tom will give you the address to Premier. You don't have to do that. But if it'll make you feel good and better, we'll let you do that, okay?
It'll make me feel really happy because I think you're the best host of Coast to Coast since Art Bell.
We're going on 19 years, January 3rd, starting 19
wow.
years. Can you believe that?
Did you fill in for Art Bell before he...
Yes, I started in 2001. My first fill-in show was with Ian Punnett. It was a Sunday night, and I was doing a local show in St. Louis called The Nighthawk, and Mike Siegel had replaced Art Bell when Art Bell retired and quit before he came back again. And Mike was a friend of mine, and he used to broadcast for us in St. Louis, lived in Seattle, but we'd carry him in St. Louis. And I said, Mike, if you ever need a day off, call me. I'd love to fill in for you. Because I was doing, Jeremy, a lot of the same things with the same guests and everything else, but just on a local level. And he said, of course I would. Give me a tape, and I'll pass it to the powers that be. And he did. He gave it to Alan Corbett and Craig Kitchen, who was the president of Premier at the time. And they said, yeah, we like this guy. So my first show that I filled in for was with Ian Punnett back in 2001. And then subsequently, Mike was relieved, and Art came back again. And they wanted a strong backup for Art. And so they turned to me and they said, can you do these backup shows? Because we know you got a local show that ends right before Coast to Coast starts. But can you fill in for Art Bell? And I went, duh, of course. And I just jumped at that opportunity. And I got to tell you some funny stories, Jeremy, that they never knew if Art was going to be on or not. He just never told anybody. And so the engineer would say, I would get a call like 15 minutes before Coast to Coast was going to start. And keep in mind, I'm doing my local show. So my producer, Howard Morton, would get the call and they'd say, we need George to be ready to fill in for Art tonight. And I had always pre-done the guests and stuff, thinking in case they call, I got to be ready. And so I would run down the hall where there was a separate studio there that we had hooked up for Coast to Coast. And the engineer would say in my ear, if you hear the music starting Coast to Coast and you don't hear Art, you're on. And I went, what? They said, yeah, if you don't hear Art's voice when we go, you know, the thumping song for Coast to Coast, you're the one who's on, so start. And I went, okay. So there were many nights I would be there standing there ready to do the show, and then Art would come on from the high desert. And I went, oh, he's here, and I went home. And then they'd say, we want to pay you for this. I said, nope, you're not going to pay me. I didn't do the show. Just keep calling me when you need me to fill in. And then there were many nights the music would start, and there was no Art Bell. So I would just go and do my thing. And that happened for a long time. And then when Art decided to retire again, he made the announcement in 2002. The network hired me, and I started full-time January 3rd, 2003.
Wow.
Like, almost like you. You keep fighting, so did I.
So that was just slightly after my tragic event.
Yep, absolutely. And how you feeling now?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling there's got to be some major reason why God wants me around. And I think God has a plan in everything that happens.
And for a lot of people, Jeremy, who do not recall your call to us some time ago when you told us about what had happened to you, it was a serious car accident, and you were in the coma for months.
Yep, for over 2.5 months.
Gosh. Well, we keep praying for you, my friend, okay?
When I was in my coma, I remember I was walking up a mountain pathway with my wife at the time, and I noticed a bunch of boulders falling down the hill, and the ambulance, and I pushed her into a crevice in the cliff next to where we were walking, and then one of those boulders hit me and knocked me off, and I fell off the cliff to the
ground. Well, you're not falling off a cliff now, Jeremy, and keep fighting, my friend. Let's go to Annie in Alabama. Welcome to the program. Hi, Annie.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas to you, too, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing real good, and I got my book ready to upload to Amazon, and it's going to be one paperback and one Kindle of the same book.
Well, you let us know when it's ready, because as a favor to you, we're going to announce your book on the program so people can go to it.
Yes. Well, I can tell you a Christmas story.
All right.
A long time ago, back before I was a victim of identity theft, I had over $1 million. And I used to go down to Birmingham. I would park at 5 Points South, and I would go into a place. And I was driving a big, long van, Dodge Ram van. And this black man came up, and he stopped about 8 feet short of coming up to me, and he stopped right there. He said, I don't mean to scare you, ma'am, but can I help you park your van? I didn't know what he was talking about. I said, okay, anyway, whether I knew what he meant or not, I said, all right. And he got out there and he started waving to the left and waving to the right. And he would wave this way and then he would wave that way. And he would help me back the thing in there. And it was a big help to me. So he wanted some money, so I gave him a little money there. And every single time I went down there, he was always there. He would always come out of nowhere, every single time. So it was Christmas, and I decided I would take him a turkey and some stuff.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Everything. And I couldn't find him. I couldn't find him anywhere. And I went into this church because it said they were having a community Christmas dinner, and I wanted to meet the people there, and I thought they'd probably have some pecan pie and everything. So I went on in there, and what I saw was two homeless men having a bowl of soup and some cornbread. And I felt like, well, maybe I've stepped through the wrong door. But I asked them, have you seen this man? And they said, well, it's below 32 degrees, so everybody's in a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably where he is. So I ended up having to keep the turkey because I looked for him the rest of the night. It was in an ice chest. I was just going to give him the ice chest and the turkey and all of it. But I never saw him again. I ended up having to keep the turkey. So that was the last time I ever saw him. I never saw him ever again.
That was it.
Maybe what happened to him.
Maybe he was your little angel, Annie. Maybe he was your little angel. You never know. They're out there. Charles in Elgin, Texas, with us. Hey, stranger, welcome to the show. Merry Christmas.
Well, hey there. Yeah, I haven't heard. I haven't talked with you for a little while, I guess.
Where have you been? You been out there?
Yeah, where have I been? Right. Well, this year, you know, golly, this year.
Oh.
All the things that go on this year. I don't even want to get into all of the things that this year kind of interferes with, especially in my life. But and then of course, recently I just had an event that actually probably would have been traumatic, except I've already had the most traumatic event ever in my life. So compared to that, you know, nothing bothers me anymore, you know. So, let's see. So the thing is, and then on top of that, in the process, my wallet got, you know, disappeared someplace.
Oh, no.
You know, now talking about angels, okay?
All right.
Let's talk about angels here, because I mean, I always kind of half jokingly, I'm always saying angels are looking out for me, because the things that happen, you know, I just sit there and I just relax and I just say, okay, everything's gonna be good. I don't know how it's gonna be good, but it's gonna work out. Everything's fine, you know. And even though, you know, so among other things, maybe a little bit worse, I actually, my wallet disappeared, and, you know, I did all the sort of things I might do, but went to the bank and, you know, considered canceling cards and doing all that kind of stuff and everything. Of course, I got an app on my iPad, you know, which is also how I listen to your show, by the way.
Okay, cool.
And so the, and I've got all kinds of, you know, from my bank and all that business. So just a lot of different stuff that I had to, you know, considered doing, and I went to the bank, and interesting thing is, of course, one thing with that was they actually kind of messed up, but it turned out to be a good thing. So where I had asked for kind of a replacement card or something for a card that I had lost in there that I was going to use, and it turned out I ended up with two cards that actually were both functional and everything. Anyway, that's all just unnecessarily complicated, though, with the wallet. Following, I forget when it was exactly, but I think it was like following Saturday or something like that. Anyway, I was over at...
Well, did you ever get the wallet back?
Actually, yes, amazingly.
See, that's the magical part. We got to take this break. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with our special holiday open lines. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Rick in Arcadia, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Rick, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I have a Santa story and a true miracle, and I never thought I'd be calling this the first time, but you guys hit the nail on the head tonight with your gifts and with your subjects. So.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. My Santa story is I was every year around Christmas Eve, my grandparents would come over, and Santa would show up, and we'd pass out candy canes and wouldn't talk, but he'd visit everybody and give everybody a gift. And so then one year, the next day, I went over to my neighbor's house. He says, man, your grandfather was great last night. I go, what are you talking about? They said, oh, your grandfather, he did a good job. I said, oh, man. And so I went home and told my parents, and they gave it up then since I asked them directly. But the upstart to this is that later, when he passed away, I inherited the Santa suit, and I took over.
Oh,
and,
I love it.
I do Santa for my kids and the grandkids, and then my wife is a school teacher, and we do it for some of her students, and then we did it for a class, and then she teaches second grade. She's got me doing her whole school now, and I'm in Rotary, and now I do convalescent homes at the Rotary Club. So I've been doing this for almost 50 years, and it's an unbelievable feeling, and both with everybody, with the children and the people in convalescent homes. So it worked out well, but that was it's quite a thing to do.
That's a great story. Exciting. Did the kids ever catch on that it was you?
I think they did. We did. You know, I loved your story. I never heard your story that you told tonight. It was wonderful about how you started and everything. My kids, what we do with my children and everybody is we say, if you don't believe in Santa, it doesn't come. So I've got a 33-year-old daughter who believes, you know, and we all believe. So that's how it happened. So if they did catch on, they never did until they were teenagers, and they'd say, for the grandkids, or when they got older, even when they became adults, they'd say, you've got to come and do our, I want you to do it for our grandkids. So it's okay, fine. So that's kind of how that evolved. So if they did catch on, there was never a confrontation.
You know? That's a great story. Rick, thank you, and a Merry Christmas to you. We used to put cookies and milk out for Santa when we were kids, my sister and I. And my dad was not a cookie and milk kind of guy. I don't know who took them. Maybe my mother did. I'm not sure, but he never was. And also, you know, this is off the topic of Christmas, but the tooth fairy, whenever you had a tooth taken out by the dentist or you lost one as you were growing up, your baby teeth would fall out. Mom would say, put it under the pillow and you'll have a little quarter waiting for you in the next day and the tooth will be gone. I still don't know how they did that and didn't wake us up, where they reached in, grabbed the tooth, put the quarter under there, and did their thing. Those parents did remarkable things for us when we were kids. Let's go to Eric, truck driving in Indiana. Eric, are you working tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Keeping America going. Well, Merry Christmas, my friend.
George, Merry Christmas to you and yours, your family, the entire staff behind the scenes, the entire Coast to Coast family. And everybody else in the universe, including the Pleiadians, the Greys, and Bigfoot.
I love it.
Anyway, George, I got to thinking here about well over 20 years ago, you know, what exactly, you know, is the spirit of Christmas? Now, in different cultures on this particular planet, you know, you have the American Indians, and they have the various spirits of various things. In the old country, in Greece and Rome, they refer to certain entities as the gods. Well, here in this country, we have one we refer to as Santa Claus. Now, you think, what is Santa Claus? To me, George, Santa Claus is the spirit of giving. And any one of us, when we can give something unconditionally with no strings attached, ye too can be Santa Claus.
That's right.
It's just like going out to dinner, and someone who's, you know, they got a waiter or a waitress, and those folks are, you know, always struggling to make ends meet, and how they make their money basically is tips. And when you order yourself a $10 or a $20 meal, and you hand the waiter or waitress your check with, say like a $50 or even a $100 bill, and you say, hey, whatever is left out of there is yours. Well, you too can be Santa Claus. I remember a story a number of years ago where there was a radio personality, Rush Limbaugh, went out to a waitress, and the kind of, you know, money that he has, he gave a waitress a $2,000 tip.
Oh, yeah. I remember that story. And it made him feel good.
Yeah, and you figure, you know, hey, people think I'm just an old Scrooge, but I can give money. Rush can give money. You can give money. Anybody can give money, you know, or give anything. Just like, you know, President Trump said, hey, I'm not going to take a paycheck. I didn't do this for the money. You know, I mean, anybody out here can give away anything with no strings attached, no hidden agenda. And if ye can do that, then ye too represent the spirit of Santa Claus.
You got it. Eric, thanks. I look forward to talking to you in 2021. Text and tweets. Tommy, you've got another one for us.
Yes, we do. This one from Gerald in Los Angeles. For those of us who try but don't do so well, how can a person master the art of giving?
You simply give from the heart, no matter what it is. Doesn't have to be a lot, but it has to come from the heart. And if you do that, remarkable things will happen to you. I've seen it happen time and time again. Don't expect anything. Give it from the heart, but just watch what happens.
Why would people have trouble, though, doing that?
Some people, well, it depends on how they were raised a lot, too. I'm convinced that how we were raised as children has a tremendous effect on how we are as adults. I'm totally convinced of that.
Oh, yeah.
If you had loving parents, kind parents who treated you well, chances are 100% you're gonna grow up that way. But if you were raised sadly, you know, being beaten and abused and put down, you're going to be a different kind of person, and you got to fight your way through that. It's not easy.
Well, you know, on a lighter note, I never thought of that before, that quarter thing. I won't ever not forget now. That's,
you know, my mother, you know, she's going to be 92 in May, and she comes on our program during her birthday. She called me up this week, and she said, "Can I ask you something?" And I said, "Ma, you can ask me anything, anytime." She said, "Was I ever bad to you or abusive to you?" And I went, "No, never." And I said, "Why would you even ask that?" She just says, "Well, I don't know. It's, you know, when we're in our 20s and we're raising you, then we can't remember everything, but I don't remember ever being bad to you. I just wanted to know how you feel about it."
How old is she now?
She's going to be 92.
You think when people get older that they reflect back, so they just want to make sure?
I'll let you know in a few years. I'll take a few more calls. By the way, we're going to end this hour with a clip from It's a Wonderful Life. If I have to cut you off, we'll get back to you. But let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana.
Hey, George.
Hi there, Corny.
I don't know if Tommy texted you and stuff. I sent you all a present.
You sent me hats.
Yes.
Because I have a system with him where I can see him. We have a little television monitor. And he's holding up these hats, ASH University and all this other stuff.
No. That's Alexandria Senior High School. The other one is the New Orleans Saints hat.
Well, that all, I'm not sure. I'm a Detroit Lions fan, Corny.
I know, but I hope I get time enough to tell a quick story.
I've got a couple minutes, so go for
it. Okay, with all the callers and stuff, and I want to give a shout-out to Ruth Radio, that Sea Crane Radio is the best, and Miss Denise and Miss Terry and Barry and Mike the Millennial and stuff. They send me cards and letters to keep me going. You know, ladies and gentlemen, my dad passed and stuff. We're going to have a big home-going ceremony on Monday, Robinson Family Funeral Home in Pineville, and then we're going to take him to the burial site in Woodworth, Louisiana, and he's going to get full military honors. He was 92, just like your mom. And, you know, it's amazing that your mom would ask if she was ever mean. And I guess she just wanted to hear that, yes, I was a good parent.
Yeah, she was. She needed to hear that from me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, George.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to tell you about Daddy, Daddy loved the Saints and stuff. And so when they won today on Christmas Day, I told the lady that's putting the program together that my dad loved the Saints. He's a great Saints fan, but now he's up with the Saints in heaven and everything. So that's my little Christmas and miracle story. And I know you're going to help me try to get my pardon and stuff. So that would be the great.
Did you get Tom the information I asked for?
Yes, Tommy has everything.
He's got to put it together. I'm going to get it right to the folks that I know who have a direct link with President Trump, who's been pardoning people like crazy the last couple weeks. Yes. And let's just see
what
he does.
For Rush, too.
But let me ask you something real quickly about the pardon. I mean, you're out of jail for the things they claimed you did, so
right.
It's on. You just want it cleaned up on your record now, I guess, right?
Yeah, but, George, I can prove now that the FBI knew about me because there's a hotline you can call and report crimes and stuff. So they knew about me. They just refused to help me. And I got a letter from President Bush saying, look, we're going to get the Justice Department, and Ashcroft was the Attorney General then, and guess who was under Ashcroft? James Comey, and guess who was the FBI director? I wrote him directly. Mueller was the FBI director back
yep.
then.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. But
George, you're the best. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Say Merry Christmas in French.
Oh, I can't do that. Feliz Navidad. I can say it in Spanish. Feliz Navidad.
All right, kid. Be well.
All right.
Be well. We're going to continue to take your text and tweets and everything. And here's another little quick story for you. When I was a boy, one of the first movies I watched with my mother was It's a Wonderful Life. She brought me in and said, watch this. You'll never forget this movie for the rest of your life. At eight years old, I had no idea what she was even telling me. And I watched this entire movie, which had to do with an individual, George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, who was contemplating killing himself, and an angel saved him and showed him what life would be like had he killed himself and what it would do and affect everyone else. Yeah, if you've seen that movie, you know what that ending is all about, as people save the bank from going under because they lost $8,000. Just a truly remarkable movie. We'll be back with more Open Lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.